This is a production of Cornell University.
Kara, could you call the roll, please?
Okay. Lila Abed El-Majid.
Here.
Morgan Baker.
Here.
Genevieve Bansaw. Katarina Bentley.
Vacant.
Kayla Butler.
Here.
Carlo Castillo.
Here.
Uchenna Chukwukere.
Here.
Lucy Contreras.
Present.
Annette Gleiberman.
Present.
Sonu Kapoor.
Here.
Amari Lampert.
Here.
Andrea Miramontes Serrano. Here. Evan Moy.
Unexcused.
Okay. Savannah Lynn.
Vacant.
Estefania Perez.
Excused.
Tomas Renning.
Excused.
Kate Santa Cruz.
Here.
Mardia Chardo.
Here.
Lucas Smith.
Here.
Claire Templeman.
Here.
Valeria Valencia.
Here.
Noah Watson.
Here.
Salam Waldai.
Excuse.
Here.
Oh, she's here.
Valentina Shu.
Here.
Johan Yuan.
Here.
Raquel Zohar.
Here.
Lucas Zumpano.
Here.
Samuel Z.
Here.
And Catherine Wong.
Here. Could I get the attendance? Is it perfect attendance? Almost? No, just kidding. It's not.
I have 23.
Okay. How many members are we supposed to have with our new vacancies this semester? 27? Okay. I'm going to guess it's 27. Okay. 23 members present, calling this meeting to order. Over break, I got shipped like a little gavel and a plaque, so I can use it to bang things, but I'm not going to because that's weird over Zoom. Okay, so let's get started with the agenda. I'm going to go with the land recognition. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gayugono, the Cayuga Nation. The Gayugono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of Gayugono dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of Gayugono people, past and present, to these lands and waters. Alrighty. Also for essay members, feel free to rename yourselves to like the essay and then your name. Shouldn't be too much of a problem, but just so we have on the record. Cool. I'm gonna pass it over to Vice President Watson.
Thank you, Kat. So first, under announcements and presentations, Kat, it's you, so I'm gonna give it back to you.
Thanks. I'm gonna go ahead and share a screen. I have a presentation prepared for all of you. Let's see if this works. That's not what I wanted to share, is it? Can you guys see my screen now? Thumbs up? Cool. Okay, so here is my presentation that I prepared for all of you. How do I full screen? Present button somewhere. Okay, there we go. Okay, can you all still see? Great. Okay, chat with Kat. spring 2021, it's a new year. Things have happened last semester, and I want us to be ready to hit the ground running this semester on like actually working on initiatives from all of you. So I'm going to go through and give a few updates from our ex officios, and then going to talk about the advocacy that I've done this semester as president, and then go through all the things I've looked at and my goals for this semester, and some of my collaborations with some of you guys on the assembly. The point of this presentation is to give you guys an example of what I'll be expecting from you guys this semester. Okay, first of all, actually I'll start off first so we have this on the record because the office asked me to confirm this. Just to reiterate for the public and for the minutes, we appointed Frank Lexa to the Research and Accountability Chair position as per the resolution that was passed at the end of last semester and a special election this year. So yay for Frank. I don't know if he's here, but congrats. Moving forward with our ex officio updates, I want to introduce our new Director of Elections, Patrick Miller. He can't be here right now because he's moving some things around with his schedule, but he is going to be our DOE for this semester, and we'll be starting work with our special elections that are coming up soon to fill the AAP rep, the woman's rep, and the undesignated rep. They're all vacant this semester because Savannah graduated, and I think Katarina left the, well, she's not here this semester, and Dylan is also not here. So moving forward, Office of the Student Advocate updates. I feel like I talk about the OSA a fair amount, so you guys should know what this is already. In case you have forgotten, this is a branch of the Student Assembly that works on specifically student support and student advocacy, led by the incomparable student advocate, Annalia Nonia. In fall 2020, right after I won my presidential election, I tasked the office to work on a basic needs project because that was something that I had campaigned on and of course wanted to deliver. So the Basic Needs Project is kind of a West Coast thing, but it's applicable to every school. It just focuses on providing resources and like a centralized resource guide for any student, like for instance at Stanford, who needs support in any of these following issues with like housing and food insecurity, utilities, health, financial support, anything that constitutes as a basic need for students in college. So the OSA for the last semester has been working diligently to create a Cornell-specific basic needs resource guide. They're in the final stages of preparing it, and I'm really excited to hear the updates, I think probably this month, on progress made. And Anneli, if you want to give an update on this or presentation at any following meeting, feel free. Great. Next, we have updates from the Office of Student Government Relations, one of our other branches. I talk about them a lot because they're great and they do amazing things. I want to introduce our new incoming director of the OSGR, Ethan Rubin. I think he's on the call. Do you want to say hi?
Hey everyone, happy to be here. Yeah, Kat and I work a lot together, and Adi Kulkarni, who you all probably remember, was the former director.
Yes. Awesome. Thanks, Ethan. I'm super excited to have Ethan stepping up into the director position. Adi will be sticking around, like he's not graduating, but very thankful for everything he's done for the office. Wanted to give a few updates on some work the OSGR has been doing in conjunction with the SA. For instance, the College Transparency Act, which they reached out to Representative Santa Cruz about. This is applicable to transgender students, or honestly, any student who wants to go to college. It's about improving accessibility and transparency of data related to colleges and universities. Yeah, so this is the form. If like anyone wants to fill it out, you guys should consider it, especially our freshman rep, since you recently went through the college admissions process. And then also, if anyone in the audience is interested in joining the OSGR, applications are live right now. Click on that link I have there, and apps are due February 17th. Also follow OSGR on Twitter. Great. Now on to stuff that I've been working on this semester, as sort of just, president things. So a big thing that I've been focusing on is mental health. As some of you might have seen or might not have seen, at the very end of last semester, I worked with the graduate student elected trustee, Liz Davis Frost, who is a powerhouse. And we created and released a survey to gauge kind of the academic experience, because it's traditionally been an issue at Cornell where professors are not very lenient, cause severe mental health distress for students. And evidently it was exacerbated by the COVID-19 pandemic, as shown by the results of our survey. Received like hundreds of responses within just a couple days, honestly. And then we were able to present survey data to all of the assembly leadership. So the presidents, the vice presidents, and then also the provost for undergraduate education, Lisa Nishi. So here's a few samples of the responses we received for our questions. I think I pulled the questions that I felt were most applicable to the student assembly. So I would have appreciated if there were more student input in the academic calendar. Most of them strongly agreed. I think there's a lot to be said about like how the SA was not consulted in creating the academic calendar for this year, specifically with COVID-19, and we want to make sure that doesn't happen again. So if any rep is interested in working on that, let me know either in the chat or the Slack right now. Great, another one. I feel comfortable asking my professors for an extension or incomplete. A lot, again, like I've mentioned, professors are kind of responsible occasionally for causing mental health distress to students with excessively harsh deadlines or prelims, which is an issue. So I would encourage folks who are involved with the Faculty Senate, so for instance, our liaisons, to check in with the Faculty Senate, see what we can do, because Charlie Van Loan, he is the dean of faculty. He does his best to try to advocate for professors to not, put prelims on the weekends or prelims over like wellness days. But there's, again, a lot more work to be done there. And again, also the adequate time to rest the semester. I don't think anyone felt we had enough time. I know I didn't. It was just the academic burnout is really real. Again, mental health is an issue. Okay, going off of that, counseling. I feel like I've talked about this to you guys, but I don't know if you all remember. So I'm gonna move first to telehealth. So I put this in the Slack multiple times because I was working on this like all last semester. I was meeting with the Dean of Students to talk about how we can ensure that we retain the flexibility in New York State licensure. It usually restricts telehealth offerings to only folks within New York State. It was extended because of the pandemic to students across the nation, but not internationally. So obviously we wanted to keep advocating to make sure that we retain the flexibility and were maybe able to increase that to international students studying abroad. The OSGR and their federal level has been looking at this. And also I asked Representative Johan, where are you? Okay, I think you guys are on this call. Representative Johan and Valentina to work on this. And I was very glad that they stepped up after a semester. Cool. Today, Morgan, she helped set up a meeting with EARS to learn more about how we can support them because you guys might have seen, but they're not offering their services this semester. So let Morgan or I know if you are interested in helping with that. More stuff on healthcare. This is stuff I've talked to Sam about, but also I've been talking with the Dean of Students about in our meetings. So healthcare options, just wanna make sure that they're affordable for all students. The Cornell Shift Plan is pretty pricey, especially for students who are low income. She said that, the Access Fund financial aid is supposed to cover those, but I think I can say personally that I don't think many people actually feel fully supported by those financial resources. So I've asked Representative Zverev as chair of the SHAC Student Health Advisory Committee to look into support for low-income students or students without health insurance. I will send these slides so everyone has links. It'll be made available on our social media or whatever is necessary. But if you guys are interested in healthcare stuff, again, super huge issue, reach out to myself or Sam. Cool. Title IX, this is not something I talked about with you all this like last semester, but it's something that I care very deeply about and talked about with a few representatives in private and with the Dean of Students multiple times. So I think there are, I don't want to bring up specific examples, but there are issues where like the Student Assembly has engaged, basically the Student Assembly should be caring about this. There are a lot of ways that Title IX procedures can be increased. I think there is some kind of distrust between the student body, specifically for survivors and the Title IX office, especially due to the lack of accountability actually held for perpetrators of sexual harassment or sexual assault or violence. And sorry, I should have provided a trigger warning for this. I apologize, I didn't do it earlier. So far I've come up with a few recommendations of my own, but I want to make sure that they're backed by other folks. And if anyone at the SA wants to do some research on this with me, please message me and say exactly which topic you're interested in. So something I've seen is there's no peer training for general students on how to handle disclosures. That's because there's legal restrictions on if someone discloses a Title IX issue to a mandatory reporter. So for instance, an RA or a professor, those mandatory reporters have a training and know what to do. But I think a lot of us have seen that Title IX disclosures happen among the student body, not necessarily to mandatory reporters. So to your friends, your peers. And a lot of times those friends aren't mandatory reporters. They don't have the training to fully support a survivor. So I've been talking to the Dean of Students if there are ways that we can increase peer training in ways that doesn't really tangle with, you know, like confidentiality and like legal things. So I'm going to be trying to figure that out. Also student survivor support networks. I think that's really important. We don't really have many student run ones. A lot of them are run from the Victims Advocate Program, which is an amazing program. But again, I think personally, I've seen like most disclosures do happen peer to peer rather than, you know, resorting to the offices that might kind of scare some students. Also just generally more accountability and transparency through Title IX. This is, again, my personal take that has been built on years of being a Cornell student and like years of advocacy. I'm completely open to other thoughts about what can be done to improve Title IX processes or how we should approach this. So hit me up if you want to look into this. Bias reporting, I think this is an issue that everyone on this essay probably cares about right now. I don't know how many of you guys have filed a bias report. I have a suspicion more of you have filed them since last semester. But basically, I don't know if any of you guys are in touch with the BART team, but I've talked with the Dean of Students about it. And they only act on a specific case or a report if it fulfills these two thresholds. So one, it has to be frequent and persistent. So it has to be happening like over and over again. And it has to be pervasive. So it has to be like really bad or just like, you know, they have these thresholds that determine whether or not something constitutes a biased response. Offensive language, by the way, does not trigger the campus code of conduct or the bias reporting team because it's basically just free speech. So I'm excited to work with the Office of the Student Advocate and the BART team to look into recommendations and reform for the BART system. I think maybe reevaluating what exactly the threshold means for like frequent and persistent or pervasive and seeing how I can actually support students who do encounter bias. So cool, that's work I've done in the past semester. You know, as president, I ran on a couple platform points, several platform points, and obviously I wanna do everything I can to fulfill them. I wanna shout out a few representatives for taking initiative and advocacy without me having to ask or like really, really push you guys. So Representative Chardot and Representative Baker, so Morgan and Mardia have been doing work over break actually already on reopening Anvil's Taylor Hall, spiritual support for students and stuff like that. Representative Miramontes Serrano, so Andrea has been doing some really awesome work with dining and sustainability in some other areas. Lucas, Representative Smith with local affairs, Representative Aldo McGee and Castillo for meeting with the Calzine over break actually, or at least coordinating that meeting. The D&I committee and Tomas and Salam have done a lot of work. I think they have a lot of resolutions on the agenda for today. And then also, like I mentioned earlier, I asked Johan and Valentina to step up and do some work with the international students and telehealth. So I'm happy that stuff has been happening. Let's see, positional updates. So just like I gave my positional updates on the work I've been doing as president, I'm going to expect you all to give a positional report this semester. I don't want this to be like a ton of work because I know we're all students and such, but also I think I was a little too lenient last semester because I like you guys and I wanted to be nice, but that meant that little advocacy and initiatives were actually pursued, which is a disappointment, I think, to some constituents, because this is a hard year for our constituents as well. And you're elected to this position, despite this hard year or because of it, to do work. So you can either do a written report to, and you're going to send that to the exec everyone on the exec team by the end of February, or you can email EVP Watson to do something similar to what I just did, deliver an oral report and a presentation at one of our meetings. Presentations can be formatted like this. This is an opportunity to highlight the work you've been doing that maybe I don't know about, or if I didn't shout you out earlier, then just like feel free to let us know the work you're doing. If you haven't done any work on the assembly, which is the case for a few of you, just say that and get moving on your platform points. Don't try to fake progress in your report because I will check or I will know. People have tried to lie to me before and it doesn't work because they'll say, oh, I work with these two organizations. I checked both of them and they had never heard of our representative before. So again, if your name was not listed throughout this presentation for work that I know you're doing, I will expect you to do some kind of first round of report. Specifically, I want these reps to provide reports because I just haven't heard much from you or some of you. Again, I don't want to generalize things, but again, I do expect some kind of level of commitment. So ILR rep, freshman reps, arts reps, engineering reps, and hotel rep. A lot of you have done, like, again, I know a lot of you have done great work, but some of you haven't. If you think this is unfair of me to ask this of you, or you're struggling with how to get started on initiatives, ask yourself if you've made progress on any of your platform points that you campaigned on. Because one, if you haven't, then that's you know, something that you can work on for the semester. And again, if you haven't, then you guys can reflect and think about what more you should do this semester. And two, if again, you're struggling with initiatives, feel free to come to me for guidance. Last semester, I like offered to meet with all of you if you needed help with things. If you don't trust me or something, find some other resource. And again, you can come to me as a jumping off point and I'll direct you to other folks who can support you. But I do expect work to be done this semester. It felt like a lot of an energy was expended last semester on, I don't know, like shooting down other resolutions or just fighting, which is a disappointment to see, especially in this very hard year for all of our constituents. So great. Closing, if there are any community members on this call and you want to provide feedback or you're interested in these initiatives, reach out to myself or the representatives listed. All the emails are on our website. So thanks, guys. Cool. How do I stop? Okay. Did I stop sharing screen? Great. Okay. Any questions? Okay, I see no questions. Thank you to the folks who did DM me to say that you're interested in working on some of these initiatives. Yeah, again, I feel like we just didn't have too many initiatives coming last semester, and I get it. It was a hard year. It was a hard year for me, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't be doing our work or supporting the people who elected us into these positions. Thanks. Okay, passing it to EVP Watson.
Thank you, Kat, for sharing and giving us all updates. And yes, please, guys, if you want to be put on the agenda to share a similar presentation, email me. I'll gladly put you on. And with that, Uche, you have an announcement.
Yeah, my announcement is pretty quick. So if y'all are not aware, the Public Safety Advisory Committee, which is charged and tasked with creating recommendations on different reforms or, you know, changes to CUPD. We just recently launched a survey for Cornell community members to take so that we can get that feedback and start formulating some of our recommendations from those responses. So everybody should have gotten an email, I think, on Monday. And I think another reminder email was sent out today as well too. So go back and check through your emails and fill that out. And have your, you know, send it out to your constituents, send it out to your friends. We're trying to get as many people to fill out that survey as possible so that we can get a really representative or a really thorough kind of like, or just representation of, like, you know, thoughts and feelings on CUPD. So, yeah, thank you.
Yes, thanks for sharing, Uche. Next on our agenda, we're gonna move into open microphone. So if any members of the community wish to speak about any issues that are not on our agenda, please raise your hand and I will call on you. Okay. Oh, Valentina.
I just have a quick announcement. I just want to wish, like, the Chinese community Happy New Year. Today's the first day of the Lunar New Year on the calendar, so just want to acknowledge that.
Thank you for sharing, and yes, Happy Lunar New Year to everybody who celebrates. Johan?
Yes, it's not really a announcement or something, but it's like a question for everyone. So I'm wondering, is there a place for us to donate excessive BRBs? Because I indeed signed up for meal plans last semester, and there are some, you know, large summer residuals of BRBs, you know, for the reason that, you know, we don't eat that often on campus. Just wondering, is there a way that we can donate these amount of money?
No, currently there is not. I would love it if you wanted to work on this. I think the Swipe Out Hunger program, Andrea has thoughts on this.
I was gonna say, Johan, do you wanna like talk to me later and we can like plan on something to talk to dining with about? Because I think that's a really good idea.
Sure thing.
Okay, thank you.
So Thank you, Valentina and Johan. And with that, I'm gonna close open microphone and move into the approval of the minutes.
Awesome. Okay, so who, okay, has everyone had a chance to look at the minutes? I see some nods. Okay, I'm gonna give us like 30, okay, not 30. I'm gonna give us 15 seconds for you guys to just peruse the minutes. If you have anything to say, let us know. Otherwise, then we can move forward with the motion to approve.
Kat, I'm going to motion to approve the minutes by unanimous consent.
Awesome. Thank you, Noah. Okay, cool. Does anybody object to that? Okay, great. Oh my God, I forgot how to do voting. I'm sorry. Okay, there's been a motion to approve unanimous consent. If no one objects, then they pass. Seeing as there's no objection, the minutes have been approved. Thank you, Vice President Watson, for motioning. Okay. Moving forward with our agenda, our business of the day, we have Representative Shukwar Kerr's resolution number 17, which I do still want to bring to the floor.
No, can we table this? Yeah, just table it right now.
Thank you. So there's been a motion to table. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. There's been a second. So actually, do we need a vote on tabling? I feel like I'm tired of voting. Okay, everyone just like, okay, actually let's use this to try out the voting. Can you all just put your hands up if you vote yes to table? Oh, cool, it counts for you, okay. Okay, I'm gonna assume if you put an emoji up, that means that you are voting yes. Okay, I think we had 22-0-1, so that resolution has been tabled. Next, resolution 22. I'm gonna go ahead and step down for chair so that I can help introduce this alongside Anna Lee. So Vice President Watson, can you chair?
No problem. Kat, do you guys wanna introduce your resolution?
Yeah, for sure. Okay, thank you. Anna Lee, I think you are on this call. Oh, yeah. There you are. Hi, amazing. Perfect, okay. So I'm super excited about this. I think last semester, there's a lot of talk about how, again, like the bias reporting process can be improved, or maybe there's places where students are kind of slipping through the cracks. So the OSA already does phenomenal work in supporting students in reporting bias or making them aware of their options. But this creates a task force to kind of focus on and identify specific places where the BART team or the bias procedures can be improved upon. I talked about some of my personal thoughts in my presentation, but I'm really happy to collaborate with the OSA on chairing this task force. Anneli, do you want to talk a little bit about the email you received from the BART team?
Yeah, so I just got an email from the BART team who saw the resolution. We've worked with them in the past through OSA just on bias and harassment related issues. And they're like very willing. They're very excited about the idea of this task force. So that they have a direct line to students. They know that sometimes students feel uncomfortable reaching out to adults or administrators on campus. So they want to use like kind of the student team to work in collaboration with them to make sure that students' concerns are heard. So we're very excited.
Yeah, amazing. So the structure of the task force is all in the resolution. Give it a read if you haven't already. I'm just hopeful that this will result in better procedures for bias reporting. Happy to take any questions now.
Hey Kat, how does this, like how will this differ from the current systems that are in place? Just because I'm just curious.
How would this task force differ from current systems in place?
Yeah.
Okay, so currently there aren't that many systems that focus specifically on like examining the bias reporting procedure. Like I mentioned, the Office of Student Advocate has like caseworkers who support students through filing bias responses. And Anna, if you wanna talk about that a little as well, feel free, but they don't provide recommendations on policy. It's just, again, like supporting students through bias.
Yeah, so I can touch on that too, because I know when we took this to his exec, that was a question as well, is like, okay, like you have OSA, why do you need this kind of? And as like the Office of the Student Advocate, we handle casework that comes in from every basically situation on campus. We don't do as many policy recommendations in the same way that like OSGR does. So this task force will be there to do policy work recommendations, to work alongside basically the BART team to make sure that like students feel better represented as opposed to OSA, who's helping like walk you through the process, providing you the resources that you might need.
Perfect. Awesome. Okay. Basically like it's combining like the student support from the OSA side and the legislative arm of the student assembly to advocate for policy. So I hope that clears things up. Any other questions? Okay, seeing as there are no questions.
Is there a motion to vote?
Motion to vote.
Is there a second? Okay, perfect. And with that, we're gonna ask that everybody vote using the reactions button. So if you guys would all just raise your hand if you vote in favor, and if you don't, please message me, or if you're abstaining also, please message me. And we're gonna close voting in a few minutes, or a few seconds, I should say, sorry. And I guess by a vote of 21-0-6, this passes, so good job.
Thank you.
And I look forward to seeing, I'm sorry, what's that?
Oh, nothing, sorry.
Okay. And then moving on with our agenda, I'm gonna pass chairmanship back to Kat.
Awesome. I just wanna do a quick count of members present again. I feel like we might've gotten a few more. So I just wanna check the vote count. So 1, 2, 3, oh my gosh, a huge clearing. Okay, it's fine. I just feel like the vote count was, okay, it was, isn't it 22-0 to like one, because we have 23 members present. Just wanna make sure you get the votes right.
That sounds correct, yes.
Okay, sorry. Just checking. No worries, I just wanna make that get in the minutes. Okay, awesome, thanks y'all. Cool. Moving forward with our next item on the agenda, resolution number 24, creating a diversity and inclusion scholarship. I think this is being introduced by Representative Woldai and also actually a lot of folks. So if the co-sponsors would like to go ahead and introduce this resolution, go for it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that I believe I'm the only one on the call. I'm not sure, but it's no problem. So this resolution is pretty much saying that the D&I committee, we have a lot of excess funds because pretty much with like, you know, the whole COVID-19 restrictions, we can't really do much. So we don't really need the money. So we were going to create a scholarship for minority organizations on campus that they had applied to. And we divide the $2,000 amongst four different organizations for $500 each. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
Thank you, Salam. Do we have any questions?
I do actually. How they're applying to it, like there's gonna be an application process, right?
Correct.
Are they applying for funding for their org or for like a special project, or just it's just a general funding stuff?
It's just general funding. It's because minority organizations on campus are funded the least. So this is just for if they want to put it towards a specific project, or they want to just use it for the organization itself, that'll be like one of the questions on the Google form. Mm-hmm. So it's up to their discretion.
Okay, thank you.
Awesome. I see more questions. Representative Bonsma.
Oh yeah, just quick. So you said it's based on their discretion, but is the criteria based on need or just first come, first serve, or what's the criteria?
It's based off of the few questions, and I guess based off of need as well. We haven't created the Google form yet, So, but I would say it's based off of needs and based off of the best well-written out responses, like an actual scholarship.
Representative Johan.
Yeah, hi. Just wondering, where does scholarship money coming from? Is it coming from the student assembly's budget, or it comes from the DNI's budget? The second question is on top of that is that I heard, I'm not sure if it's correct or not, that the budget for student activity fee will get back to normal for this semester. If that's the case, will we still have, you know, enough money to fund such a scholarship?
In the resolution, it states that the funding is going to be coming straight out of DNI's budget, because DNI is given $2,000 every year, and we don't need all of that money. So we're donating it out of our own committee's budget, not through like the SA as a whole.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you for that answering that question. I also chaired DNI 2 years ago, and we like never used our budget in its full, which is sad, because you know money could be going somewhere. Johan, if you have further questions about the SA budget, feel free to reach out to Uche, because he's our vice president of finance. Cool. Representative Abdel-Majid.
Yeah, I was wondering if there was any way I can add my budget to that. Like, if we can make an amendment to the resolution. I have $1,000 and I don't think I'm going to use it.
I would be more than happy for that. That would be amazing, because that we could either do more money for those four organizations, or we can provide more towards for more organizations. So that would be amazing.
Awesome. Layla, thank you for that offer. So as chair, I would look favorably upon a motion to amend the resolution to actually, let me check the language really fast so we can add it to the specific line. Okay, I can't make this motion, but I'll say it and then someone else make this motion. as chair, I would look favorably upon a motion to amend resolution 24 to change the language in lines 16 to 17 to say, whereas the diversity and inclusion committee and the internal operations, what is it? the internal operations committee, okay, does anyone else have like language that you want to include right now, because I'm still thinking. Okay, I see a hand from Sam. Let me like try to type it up while Sam talks. Hello, Sam. Okay, I think his hand is just up randomly.
What? No, I raised my hand because I thought we were voting, but I didn't put it down.
Okay, can you put it down? Thanks. Okay, give me a second to like look over the language. If someone else wants to make the motion to amend, go for it. But otherwise I can say it or type it. Okay. Motion to amend this resolution to change lines 16 and 17 to say, Diversity and Inclusion Committee was granted $2,000 and the Internal Operations Committee was granted $1,000 for the 2020 to 2020 school year, and then change lines 23 to 24. To say the Diversity and Inclusion Committee and the Internal Operations Committee will create and review applications in order to deem which organization is best fit to receive the funds. Does that make sense to everyone? Okay, great. Does someone else want to make that motion? Because as chair, I can't make motions.
Sure. Motion. So motion to amend lines 16 to 17 to include internal operations budget, because there's technically no internal operations committee. And then I don't want to review the applications. That can be under DNI. So I wouldn't want to amend lines 26, I think is what you said. So motion to amend the resolution to read lines 16 to 17 to include internal operations budget.
Second.
Okay, there's been a second to that motion to amend. Cool. Does anybody have an objection to this amendment? Seeing as there's no objection, we do have to vote on this amendment. Everyone, vote yes, or like put your hand up right now if you're voting yes for this amendment. And you can address, I see a lots of hands and questions. We can address that after we finish voting. Okay, 20 hands, votes. Still waiting for a couple more votes for some reason. If you're not voting, I'm going to assume that's an abstention. Oh, fantastic. Okay, 22-0-2-1. This amendment passes. I see a comment from Salam. Line 21 also has to change. Someone want to make that motion to amend as well? Okay, does nobody want to make the motion to amend?
Motion to amend.
Second it.
Okay. I'm just going to assume that the motion to amend is just going to change it from 4 to 6 $500 scholarships if the budget is $1,000 from internal operations. Cool. Thanks. There was a second. We're going to vote on this again. I see people already voted. Keep voting for like, oh, great. Cool. 23-0-1, I think. We have a lot of members here. Cool. 23-0-1, that amendment passes. Thanks for your contributions. Do we have any more discussion on this resolution? Okay, cool. Seeing as there are no, oh, yes, Salam? Or
accident.
Okay, Valentina?
I just had a quick question. If this will be like permanently, like every year we will have this scholarship, or is this just going to be this year?
I can answer that. It would be just for this year, because the reason we have an excess sum of money is because of the fact COVID-19 restrictions. Like, we can't have in-person meetings to like use the money for like dinners or stuff. So whatever DNI wants to do next year is up to their discretion.
Thank you for your question, Valentina. Thank you for your answer, Salam. Any other comments? Seeing as there are no questions or comments on this resolution, is there a motion to vote?
Motion to vote.
Thank you, Mardia. Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
Awesome, there's been a second. Please put your, like raise your hand now if you're voting yes for this resolution. I'm gonna close voting in 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Cool. Please raise your hand now if you are voting no on this resolution. Sorry, this is a vote against this resolution. Okay. Cool. Seeing as there are no, okay. Cool. I'm just going to assume it's 22-0-2. Sorry, this Zoom voting thing is kind of confusing. Let's stick with 22-0-2. Let me know if that's wrong. Okay, congratulations, Salam, and to the Diversity and Inclusion Committee. Your resolution passes. Very, very pleased about this. Next, resolution number 25, including pronouns and phonetic name pronunciations in course rosters. Would the co-sponsors of this resolution like to introduce it? The floor is yours.
Is Tomas on this call? I'm not sure. No, okay.
He's not, no.
Okay, so this resolution is pretty much to incorporate students' phonetic name, pronunciation, and their pronouns in all of the professors' class rosters in order to be more inclusive, because especially for trans students or people with difficult names, it's very frustrating and very hard conversations to have with your professors. So this is just trying to incorporate it on the class rosters.
Awesome. I think this is a great idea. I had someone message me just yesterday about this resolution because they saw it on social media and thought it was fantastic. So thank you for this. Do we have any questions or comments for Salam?
Motion to vote.
Okay. So there's been a motion to vote. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Awesome. There's been a second. Please raise your hand if you're voting yes on this resolution. Okay, that's 22-0-2-1. one. Actually, okay. Someone, okay, there we go. 23 to 0 to 1. Thank you all. I think that motion actually passes because there would be no votes left. So congrats, yay. Again, great initiative. Glad to see work happening. Next resolution, resolution number 26, encouraging diversity in professional organizations. Okay, did the co-sponsors of this resolution want to introduce it as well?
Harry, I don't know if Harry can speak at the moment because I know he's in the library, but I can introduce this resolution. So this resolution is pretty much to encourage the professional organizations on campus to admit more diverse applicants and their application cycles, because minority students are not being recognized in these professional organizations. So this resolution is pretty much explaining why this is the case due to like systemic barriers. And this resolution is saying pretty much for Student Assembly and for Cornell to urge professional organizations to strive for greater diversity. And to do this by incorporating a diversity chair on their executive boards. And for this resolution to be sent to all the pre-professional orgs on campus and the executive board of the professional fraternity council.
Thank you for introducing the resolution. Do we have any questions or comments? Okay, I see a hand from Representative Smith. Lucas, go ahead, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I guess I just don't remember, but I know that the Appropriations Committee must have been last year looked at the, doing some Appendix B kind of stuff towards this effect. I can't remember if that went through. I don't know if Uche recalls or if anything went forward that. Just want to make sure we're not duplicating or if that isn't still in effect. But.
Sure. Thanks, Lucas. Vice President Finance Chukwukere, do you want to address this?
Yeah, so I mean, I think this resolution is like fine. I know that we'll, this semester when we go through like off-year reporting for all of the byline organizations, we are gonna have a discussion with PFC on the progress that they've made on making their organizations like more inclusive. Appendix B is another measure that we can use if need be to make sure that they are on track to meeting the goals and standards that we set for them last byline funding process. So I think this resolution is fine. And I think when we get to, when PFC comes in and does their, gives us their report, if they're not up to the levels that we need them to be, we can utilize Appendix B and make changes. So, yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, EJ. Does that answer your question, Lucas? Perfect. Okay. Any other questions or comments? Seeing as there are no more questions or comments, is there a motion to vote on this resolution?
Motion to vote.
Fabulous. Is there a second?
Second.
Awesome. Seeing as there have been second, we'll now move into voting. Please raise your hand now if you're voting yes on this resolution. Okay, I'm going to close voting in 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay. Thanks. Please. I'm going to clear the votes. Please raise your hand now if you're voting no on this resolution. And if you haven't voted yes or no, okay, I see one hand. I'm going to close voting. Oh, okay. Okay. So this voting no means you're not going to be voting for this resolution. Okay. Cool, I see two votes. So, okay, sorry. Can you guys keep your like hands up if you're definitely voting no on this resolution? Okay. I'm going to assume if you haven't voted, you're abstaining. So with a vote of 20 to 0 to 3. Yeah, okay. Like I said this at the beginning of the meeting, but Zoom took away the feature where you can do yes or no. So I'm gonna have to say like, okay. Do you guys know what I mean when I say like Zoom took away the feature that does the yes and no buttons that we usually use? Like the votes evaporate after like 2 seconds. Wendy, do you want to talk about this?
Really quick, yes. Zoom took away the feature. They've done a couple of upgrades over the break. So one of the upgrades was they took away the yes, no feature and they had it so that it only appears for like about 10 seconds. However, they've since done another upgrade and the yes, no features they persist longer through, like Genevieve has hers up as yes now and it's staying up there for longer than 10 seconds. The catch is though, everyone has to have the same version of Zoom. So for the time being until everyone gets upgraded to the most recent version of Zoom, if you can use the raise hand function rather than the yes, no, because the raise hand function does stay up longer than, you know, it persists as well. So that's what we're recommending to the assemblies that they do the raise hand function. All in favor, raise your hand, then you count that, and then all opposed, raise the hand function, and that sort of thing. Does that help?
Awesome. Right. Thank you so much, Wendy.
You're welcome.
Okay, I'm just going to redo the vote. Again, I'm sorry that this is confusing. For next meeting, maybe we should all like update Zoom or something. I will not require that. I can't do that. But okay, all in favor, raise your hand using the reaction. Sorry to do this again, but I just want to make sure we get the vote counts right. I'm going to close voting in 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, it's 20 votes, 21 votes in favor. Okay, 22 votes in favor. thank you, I'm gonna clear that. All opposed, please raise your hand now. Opposed to the resolution, please raise your hand. Okay, and if you're abstaining, raise your hand now. If you didn't vote early, I'll assume it's abstention. Okay, 22-0-2, this resolution passes. I'm glad we got through voting. I'm sorry, this is so messy, but fantastic. Cool, moving on to the next resolution. Are we on resolution 27? Yes, cool, okay. Do the co-sponsors of this resolution want to introduce it? The floor is yours right now. That would be Johan and Alexa, if you're on this call.
Yes, hi. So I'm Alexa, I'm the chair of the Health and Wellness Subcommittee under SHAC. So this resolution is about the final exam policy. The current policy says that if you have more than 2 exams within a 24-hour period, then you can ask for one of those exams to be moved. And we're looking to change this instead of 24 hours to 30 hours. So that would mean like right now, if you have say a 9 a.m., a 2 p.m. and then a 9 a.m. the next day, it's not covered by the current policy because that window is 24 hours and 1 minute. So the 30 hours would cover that. And it would also cover a 9 a.m., a 2 p.m. and then a 2 p.m. the next day. However, if you have like a 9 a.m., a 2 p.m. and then a 7 p.m. the next day, it wouldn't be covered, but at least you would have like, you know, a little more time to maybe get a decent night's rest and maybe study the rest of the next day for the exam that you have that evening. So yeah, we just think it's important to be able to space the exams out a little bit more for the mental health of students. Yeah, and we did a survey and we got 172 responses. 97% were supporting the initiative and the other 3% were either no or no opinion. And I was looking at some like other Ivy League's policies. I couldn't find much on most of them, but I found that Brown has only 2 exam periods per day, 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. So there's less of a chance for, you know, having a bunch of exams on the same day. And Princeton allows requests for more than 1 exam in a day. So even having 2 exams in a day isn't really happening there. And then a couple of other ones, either I couldn't find information on or it's like the same as our current policy, but I think it's important, and clearly a lot of people think it's important to, you know, have a little more time between exams, so, you know, you don't burn out or anything like that. Yeah, just advocating for mental health.
Awesome. Cool. Thank you so much, Alexa. That was great. Thank you for introducing it. I'll open up for discussion now. I see a hand from Valentina. The floor is yours.
Yeah, I think because given COVID, a lot of exams have been, and also students abroad, obviously, that can't come back. A lot of the exams turn into like the professor gives you like 24 hours or even 48 hours to complete in a window. So I was wondering if you guys would want to amend this to be like maybe the end of the exam, each end of the exam, you wouldn't have three in like 30 hours.
Yeah, so we started this pre-COVID. I haven't really considered that like 24-hour window stuff. That sounds like a good idea, maybe like the end of the exam period. We'll have to think about that a little bit more. Johan, are you still here, Johan? Anything else to say?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. No, that is a good point. But so this resolution focusing more on, you know, non-COVID era of final exam schedules where things are not really as flexible as, you know, today. I will argue even, you know, today, even though there's this COVID thing, the 24-hour period of time make it kind of flexible for students to, I guess, organize final exams. But I would say this, I would argue, is a separate resolution we could definitely work on. The point of this resolution is more of showing the admin that, you know, student body wish to basically to explore the possibility of such change to see that could, you know, bring benefits to the student body. The other resolution that, you know, basically amending the media policy, which is going to happen this semester, I feel like that is a more, I guess, more immediate action kind of stuff, which I think will be better dealt with if we have a separate resolution.
Okay, yeah, I agree.
Awesome, thanks y'all. Do we have any more questions or comments on this resolution? I did have a quick question. So I know that this was an initiative that's been worked on for a couple, like at least the last year. And I have a feeling this was introduced at the end of last academic year, maybe. So I just wanted to know if you guys ever got a response or if it was passed at that meeting, I can't remember.
When we last presented it, it was kind of like an informal proposal and like it was well received then, but there wasn't like an official vote on it. And after that, we just kind of like met with some like faculty members just to see what like people's opinions were, just kind of a trial period.
Okay, awesome. Thanks, Alexa. Johan, did you have something you wanted to say?
No, Alexa just basically covered everything, so.
Perfect, okay. Any more discussion points on this resolution on extending the final exam policy extension to 30 hours? Okay, seeing as there are no hands up, is there a motion to vote?
Or I'm sorry, sorry, Kat. Before that, do you mind if I amend the resolution to add Sonu to be one of the co-sponsors for the resolution?
Go for it. So
can you also add me as a co-sponsor?
Okay, so does someone want to make that a formal motion to amend?
I motion to amend the resolution to add me and Sonu as co-sponsors.
Okay, great, thanks Annie. Is there a second? If there's no second, we cannot vote on this amendment.
Okay. Second.
Thanks, there's been seconds. Okay, please, we're gonna do this again. Please put your, like raise your hand if you're in favor of this amendment. I'm gonna close voting in 5 seconds. So 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Cool, 19 votes in favor. I'm gonna clear that. Please put your hands up if you are opposed to this amendment. Okay, seeing as there are no votes, please put your hands up now if you're abstaining from this amendment vote. Okay. I'm going to assume if you didn't vote, there's an abstention. And I think I just got a DM that we actually, I missed a vote. So 20-0-4, this resolution passes. Congratulations, Alexa and Johan. Thank you for bringing this to the assembly. Fantastic. Okay. Next on the agenda, resolution 28, campus policing reform. Do the co-sponsors of this resolution want to introduce it or, okay.
I'd like to make a motion to table indefinitely.
Okay, thank you, Kayla. There's been a motion to, oh, wait, I'm so sorry. Did we like vote on the last resolution or was that just a vote to amend? I'm really sorry, I forgot. That was just a vote to amend, I apologize. Let me go back really fast. Okay. Oh, is there a motion to vote on the resolution itself?
Motion to vote.
Second. Okay, amazing. Please put your hands up right now if you're voting in favor of this resolution. I'm going to close voting in 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, great. Thank you all. That's 22 votes. Okay, I'm going to clear that. Please put your hand up if you're, I'm gonna assume that it was 23-0-1 unless anyone wants to correct me.
Wait, no, it's a yes for me. My feature doesn't work on my phone for some reason. I'm trying to figure it out.
Okay, no worries. I think it's technically still 23-0-1 unless anyone votes no. Okay, great. The resolution passes. Congrats, Alexa and Johan. Next meeting, we're going to figure out this whole voting thing. Maybe we'll all just update and it'll be good, but cool. Okay, returning to the motion on the floor, Kayla had just motioned to table resolution 28 indefinitely. Is there a second?
Second.
Awesome, cool. Please raise your hand if you are in favor of tabling this resolution indefinitely. I'm going to close voting in 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's see. That's 19 in favor. I'm going to clear the votes again. Please raise your hand now if you are opposed to tabling this resolution indefinitely. Okay. I'm going to assume if you didn't vote, you're abstaining. So it passes with 19 votes in favor. This resolution has been tabled indefinitely. That is the end of our agenda. Do we have anything else people would like to add? Okay, seeing as there's nothing, I'd like to say hi to a few people really fast. I think I see Reba on the call. We're just going to wave. You don't have to say anything, but I did want to recognize that you're here. Thank you for being at our meeting. Okay. Okay, I see two hands. Yes, Morgan.
Sorry, did we adjourn yet?
Not yet. We're going to adjourn in like a second.
Can I add something?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, thank you. I move to amend standing rules, lines 222 to 225 to read, any voting essay member may attempt to overrule the decision of the exec committee by submitting their challenge in the format of a resolution or as a motion at the next regularly scheduled meeting. A simple majority of the voting membership must be reached to overrule the exec committee at any time, which is allowed by standing rules, lines 16 to 17, which reads the standing rules can also be edited at any time by a majority vote of the membership of the SA.
Okay, great.
So motion to amend.
Dissent.
Okay. Hold up. So there was a motion to amend, and then was there a second?
I second that.
Second. Was there any dissent?
Dissent.
Okay.
Same.
Please state your dissent.
I'm sorry. This is ridiculous. Like, I don't understand why we are still bringing this back up from last semester. I don't know if this is like some type of like retribution or some type of way to like, you know, make yourselves feel better about the fact that a member got removed from the executive board, but this is ridiculous. There's absolutely no reason as to why we need to
change the standing rule so that it works in your favor, so that the next time the executive committee makes a decision that you don't like, which you're allowed to have your opinions and bring up your objections and things of that nature, but to change the standing rules just to make it easier to overrule us and undermine the executive board seems absolutely ridiculous to me. So no.
Okay.
Our motion to just vote.
Thank you for saying your dissent. There's been a motion to vote. Okay. We can motion to vote. I also would like to say I just texted our parliamentarian to see if they'd hop back on, just because I wanted to make sure we're doing this all right. I'm gonna wait for a bit to see if he's gonna come by. Again, just because this is very closely intertwined with our parliamentary procedure and our rules, and I would want to run stuff by Stefanko. Okay, let me see if he's gonna come really fast. Okay, I don't think Michael can return. Okay, someone's gonna call him really fast. Yeah, Maria, if you could call him. Again, I just wanna make sure all the rules we're going by is correct. So the son doesn't like say something like, oh, like this was done inappropriately, because they like to do that. Oh, I see a hand from Layla. Do you have a question?
Oh, this was just gonna be an announcement from before this.
Okay. Maria, do you know if Michael can answer your call? Okay, that's fine. I don't think our parliamentarian can join us. I think there was a motion to vote. Was there a second?
Second.
Okay, great.
Dissent.
I think we already had the motion to dissent, technically.
Like, yeah, I don't want to move into voting.
Okay.
Cool. Oh, can I just step in really quickly? Because this would be a motion to vote to vote. So like dissenting on the vote to vote seems like we'll just get back into the whole like vote to vote to vote thing that we had last semester.
Yeah, I mean, I'm down with that.
Cool, so we're going to vote to vote. Please, okay. So please raise your hand using the reaction if you are in favor of moving into the vote. Okay, that's 9, 10. Okay, hold on. Keep your votes up, like don't change them, because it's very annoying. Okay, closing voting right now, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. That's 12. I'm gonna clear. Please raise your hand now if you are voting again, if you are not in favor of moving into voting. Okay, keep your hands up. Okay, that is, I think, 5 votes. I'm gonna close voting in 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 6 votes. Okay, cool. 7, okay guys, vote before I like stop counting. Going to clear votes now, and then just put your hand up if you're abstaining from this vote. Okay, are people voting twice? Because I like don't have the bandwidth to count if people are doing that. Kate, do you have a question?
No, I'm abstaining.
Oh, okay, thank you. Cool. Okay.
I'm abstaining as well.
Thank you, perfect. 2 abstentions, I think 12 to 7 to 2. I think, okay, it's 12 to 7 to 4, actually. The motion passes. Great. And then Okay, so now we're in like the, we've like done the vote to vote. So we're like going to see if we can vote. I just want to make sure, again, I'm going to see if Michael can come by.
Can I motion to table for the next assembly?
Okay, like, okay, so there's been a motion to table.
Second.
There's been a second.
Dissent. Okay. We have to move into voting now, right?
Okay, I think so. This is again why I want Michael.
Yeah, we can't move to table until we finish voting.
Okay. Yes. Saying she's gonna ask Michael, so thank you.
Still speaking. Again, we're still trying to reach a parliamentarian. But otherwise we can still move into the vote. Let me see. Okay, let me call him really fast. He might be in another meeting, but that's fine. Okay, so Michael did not pick up, so I think we're going to move into a vote, like the vote. So cool. All in favor of the original motion, please raise your hand now. Okay, and if you're having trouble voting, just like message me what your vote is going to be. Let me see the vote counts. Yeah, no, again, like, okay. Like I said, if you're having trouble voting, which I'm getting DMs about, just like, please message me what your vote is going to be, okay? Okay, so that's, I think it's 11 votes. Because I haven't gotten a message about what your vote is going to be. This is 11 votes in favor. I'm going to clear the votes. Okay, and then please raise your hand now if you're opposed to this. Okay. Going to close voting soon, so please make sure you voted if you haven't already. Okay, I'm gonna close voting in like 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, and then please raise your hand if you're abstaining. I'm gonna clear the votes. Please raise your hand now if you're abstaining. Okay, see one vote. Going to close the abstention votes in like 5 seconds. So 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So I think 10 to 8 to 1, 10 to 8, 19 to 1. Okay, let me do a quick count like the attendance right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Okay, so 10 to 8 to 2, I think that vote passes. Great, okay, cool. Okay, anything else?
I have a new motion.
Okay, what is your motion?
Actually, can I speak first?
Sure.
So the change is that it can also be a motion, right?
Yes, the text was set in the chat.
Okay, did we discuss this at all?
Nope.
I wasn't able to discuss this at all. So.
Can I finish with my motion?
Motion to adjourn, please. It's a school night. I have homework to do.
Second.
Okay, so technically this is not a debatable, again, like if you look at the
Robert Morgan rules, never finished her motion.
Yeah, I was in the middle of motion.
All right. Please, I just got a text from Michael. I'm gonna see if he can come back. Like, okay, great. He's back. Fantastic. Also, Gina's here. So hi, Gina. Okay. Michael, hi. Can you hear us?
Yep.
Sorry to drag you back into this. We're having some parliamentary questions.
All good. I was just on a call for a job, but yeah. Hey, everybody.
Sorry.
All good.
Okay. So, well, we already like moved forward with like a motion for, I think it's in the chat, but if someone wants to resend it, go for it. Just want to make sure that everything makes sense parliamentary procedure wise. And then now we're like getting in a little kerfuffle about further motions versus a motion to adjourn.
Here, I can say my motion. So I move to overturn the decision of the exec committee on the removal of the undesignated rep at large, Dylan, from the SA and have him reinstated with full privileges immediately, which needs majority vote since we just amended the standing rules to say so.
Okay.
So that's, I motion now.
Okay.
Second.
So there is a second and then there is dissent. Please state your dissent, whoever dissented.
I actually had a question because I think we were asking Michael about the previous motion, not the current one.
Yeah. Okay. So Michael, I just sent you the language that I think that they changed from our standing rules. And this had a vote of 10 to 8 to 2, I believe. But again, just like wanted to run this by you and everything. I just DM'd it to him.
So now we're voting to vote, right?
I think we're waiting on clarification from Michael.
Yeah, that makes enough sense to me. So as I understand, you already went ahead with modifying the standing rules. That vote has already been cast, all done?
Yes.
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you. So there is now So there was a motion to vote. Hold up. Sorry. I think there's still a hand up. What is your question?
And clarification on membership of the SA.
For the motion?
For the lines that Annie put in the chat, does that mean, because I don't know, it doesn't say members present, so I don't know what that means.
Sorry, so is the dispute over just that language then of membership?
Oh, no, I was just asking that right now.
Voting members.
Okay.
So now we vote to vote.
So, oh, membership. Okay, so do you need then a majority of the original of the
all 27 is my question.
Yeah, of the entire body.
So since they're not here, was what we just did allowed?
I believe it's those present.
Does it say that?
Because it says edited at any time. So
yeah, I understand. Does it say by voting members present? Because that's not what I'm reading.
It doesn't need to say that.
It does actually. A lot of okay. Our, like Michael can confirm this, but.
Sorry to interrupt you, Kat. Sorry. I was gonna say our documents generally are pretty good, I would say, on whether or not it is a majority of the members present or membership. And yeah, no, that is a fair point that Lily was bringing up regarding membership. I do think that does make sense to me. A majority of the membership, and unless people are debating what membership means, is there a dispute over whether
no,
Morgan, are you arguing that membership?
No, we didn't argue this. I was just bringing that up like right now. So if there's, so I'm saying because not all 27 members are here, I don't think what we just did was allowed. It could be done at next meeting when we have all 27 members.
Where in the standing rules does it ever say members present?
Can Command someone F.
show me?
We're going to have all 27 people at one meeting anyways. I don't know if that's
We've had it a bunch of times.
Also, we've already voted on this.
Hey.
It's done.
Hello. Don't interrupt me ever again. That was really annoying. That goes for all of you. I think Noah had a question at one point or a comment.
Yeah, Morgan, you were asking for somewhere in the standing rules where it points to saying like majority of members present. If you look to the standing rules where it mentions removing committee members, it explicitly says like the committee members who are present can vote in those removal hearings.
Does it say that for everything that we do, like every vote we do? Because we never really have all members present.
That's because specifically, like you have to, like, if it's members present, then it'll say that. If it is just membership, then it means full membership. And it, again, like Michael or confirm this in like our bylaws, standing rules somewhere that says that. Hi, Michael.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that I guess unless someone is debating the point Kat is making regarding it being specific, like if the document doesn't specifically actually outline that it is the members present, it does make sense to me that it would be membership at large, meaning the entire organization. If someone has like a different definition or understanding membership, that might be a different question, but what Kat's saying does seem to make sense to me. I guess I wasn't paying attention to the importance of membership, especially considering how low participation is right now in the meeting and the fact that you had 10 for the motion.
I think I think what I'm trying to say is that it says it can be amended at any time. So I think that's at any time. And yes. Right now it's any time.
Yeah, it can be amended at any time, but you require the majority vote of the membership. So full membership again, because if it's membership, that means that it's full membership. If it specifies like here in rule 7 from our standing rules that, you know, all members present. So there's a difference. If the language that Annie has sent has said all members present, then it would have only required like the 10 or 11 votes. However, if it's membership present, then that requires a majority, which is 14 because our total is 27. So my apologies because I didn't catch that earlier, but that would mean that the last, like the vote, like, okay, basically you guys would need 14 votes for that to pass. I don't think it does or did. Okay, great.
And with that, Kat, can I motion to adjourn?
So doesn't there need to be some official ruling of what we did was wrong? Like, I didn't hear anything official.
Second, I didn't have time to discuss.
Okay. Again, if you want to speak, put your hand up. Please don't just unmute. Cool. Technically, there has been a motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, great. There's a second. Motion to adjourn is not a debatable motion. So we're adjourning unless you guys vote against it. So let's move into a vote to adjourn. Please raise your hand if you're in favor of adjourning this meeting. It's also past 6, so. Okay, we're gonna close voting for this motion to adjourn in 5 seconds. Also already has a majority, so it passes. Okay, cool. So great, this meeting has been adjourned. I'll see you all next week.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.